As we study another of God's names this evening, we turn again to Exodus. So many names of God are revealed to us first or sometimes only in Exodus. Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 17. We're going to be focusing on verse 13 and the last part of it, but the context is very important, so we'll at least read that and touch on it. So Exodus 31, verse 13 is really our theme text for this topical sermon on God's names. Jehovah Mekadishkim, the Lord who sanctifies you. Hear now the word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Again, we're in the Names of God series, and tonight we are studying Jehovah Mekadishkim, and I'll apologize, I'm not sure if I'm saying them perfectly, but I'm trying. Jehovah Mekadishkim, some of them are a little harder than others. It means the Lord who sanctifies you, or the Lord who makes you holy. You could even translate it, or at least the idea is the Lord who sets you apart. Notice it's the Lord that does this. It's the Lord that makes you holy. Again, this is very important because without holiness, no one will see the Lord, we're taught in Hebrews. Just as this morning we remembered from Romans that no one is righteous, no, not one, so we need God's righteousness. So here, we need holiness. We need God's holiness. And so we see again by his name that he gives it to us and so calls us to live in it. We have a similar verse where this name comes up another time. And it's not the same specific focus, but generally it's the same idea. Leviticus 20, verse 8, And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. So again there, I am the Lord which sanctify you. But it's following a command to keep his commandments. It's following a direction to do what God says. It would seem to me it's motivating for us here. How can we do it? Oh, you know, we're discouraged, we're not holy enough, and we therefore give up. And he's saying, I am the Lord which sanctifies you. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Don't use excuses of unholiness. I have made you holy. I am going to make you more holy. And I'm going to use the means for your holiness to increase in this life. Your obedience. You see, our obedience is a means of assurance of our salvation. We are blessed with a sense of his fatherly pleasure, but our obedience, that practice of holiness, is what makes us more holy. So he's motivating us by the fact that he makes us holy, and he's telling us to keep his commands because he is holy, and that is how we reflect his holiness, and it's also what makes us more holy. He sanctifies us. God sanctifies us. Yes, we're called to be sanctified, but he's the one that does it. He doesn't leave us alone to ourselves. If he did, we'd be in great trouble. Let me review what sanctification is by assistance of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, number 35. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. Let me break that down for us a little bit. Sanctification, which is making us holy, it is the work of God's free grace. Notice it's the work of God. It's His work. He initiates our working in Him. It is different. I'll remind you that it says it's a work of God's free grace rather than justification and adoption being spoken of by the catechisms as acts of God's free grace, because they are one-time things and it's done and complete. Sanctification has an aspect of one time, but then there's an ongoing process being worked out. So it's called a work of God's free grace, but it's still a work of God, and it's free, and it's gracious. This ought to be encouraging and motivating us right there. But there's two aspects. Number one, we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God. Notice, we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God. We are made sons of God. We are positionally made righteous and holy in His sight through Christ. This is what is often referred to as definitive sanctification. It's done. This is why Paul can call us saints. He can refer to Christians as saints, though then he lays in on them on a whole bunch of sin, right? And yet he addresses them as saints, because definitively they are defined. They have been made saints. They have been made holy by the Holy One, Jesus Christ, having put the Holy Spirit in them to bear His fruits, to give honor to the Father and hallow His name in heaven. The other aspect is this. It says God's free, gracious work of sanctification also is the enabling of you more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. That's what we call progressive sanctification. Not only are we definitively holy in our relationship to God through Christ, but we keep progressing in this holiness until we are ushered into heaven, because we still have that body that brings us down and is corrupt and causes us to sin, and we need that whole man, our soul, to be guiding and growing our psychosomatic person to be living more holy for Him. And we can do it. God helping us. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. He is holy. He is the Holy Trinity. He's in us, and He calls us, and He enables us to keep growing in holiness. He does the work. He wants to do the work. It's His will for us to be holy and sanctified. Both of these aspects are work of God's free grace. We don't sanctify ourselves. He sanctifies us definitively, and then He causes us to progress in sanctification and uses His means to make it happen. It's a special operation of the Holy Spirit in you, Christian. What is it to be sanctified? Well, you've heard it many times, but let's review again. It is to be called holy, to be made holy, or to be sacred, to be set apart from the common things, and particularly the corrupted things of this world, to be consecrated and dedicated unto the service of the Lord God. See, God makes you holy. He takes you and sets you apart. God dedicates you to Himself, that you would be dedicated to Him and serving Him in holy things. And you want to remember to have in mind the tabernacle and the priests. Remember that 1 Peter 2, verse 9, alluding to Exodus, mostly quoting Exodus 19, verse 6, says it still applies to you, even more so now that Christ the Holy One has come. Ye are a chosen generation. He's chosen you to be holy. He's picked you up and said, I want you, I make you holy. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Priests are involved in holy things. You are an holy nation, church, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Notice this idea of priesthood, holiness, peculiar. We're supposed to be this because we are this. He has chosen you, and He has called you, and He has made you such. Are you struggling to believe it? Oh, me too. And we want to be encouraged tonight by his name that this is nonetheless the case. Let God be true and every man a liar. Although let him make us more speak more truth to ourselves and about ourselves because of what he has done truly. Let me ask you this. Is there a sign to show you are sanctified and that you're being sanctified? Is there a sign, something we can look to particularly? Well, how do you know diehard football fans when you see them? Do they stand out usually? Yeah. Particularly diehard football fans keep season tickets on Sunday and they never miss a game. How do you know serious Christians, those who have been set apart and made holy and who are growing in sanctification? Well, they keep the Sabbath day holy and they never miss a service of worship. Naturally, people may miss some games for sickness. We may miss worship for sickness and other things, but generally speaking, we keep that day and all day holy unto the Lord, and we never miss it. That's what our text is telling us. When God's people sanctify the Sabbath, they show themselves that God has and does sanctify them. The keeping of the Sabbath, the keeping of the Sabbath holy and worshiping it is a sign that we are sanctified. And it's a testimony to ourselves particularly. Sabbath keeping is a sign or it is a mark. Look at verse 13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you. Verse 17. It is a sign. Keeping of the Sabbath is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. It's a sign. It's a recognizable mark. Yeah, it's interesting. Recently, there was a series of articles on Place for Truth magazine about the marks of the true church. And it's interesting, this is said to be a mark. It's not really something specifically said as a mark of a true church, but I think it could be certainly a clear aspect of the marks of a true church. But here we're seeing the mark of a church is the keeping of the Sabbath, the mark of a sanctified, set-apart people for Christ, by Christ, is the keeping of his Sabbath. It's a mark of our holiness. Verse 13, 14, 15, the keeping of the Sabbath, that is, making the day holy, is a mark that we are holy. It's a mark that our holy God is meeting with us and we're responding to him in the beauty of his holiness. It's a sign of the covenant, which is an agreement between him and us. Verse 16, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation for a perpetual covenant. It's a sign that we are in an arrangement with God, an established, formal, official relationship that he is our God and we are his people. Notice this between me and between you, also spoken of in verse 13. So the keeping of the Sabbath is the king's signature stamp in the middle of the Ten Commandments. Remember that. When we looked at the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath, the command to keep the Sabbath is a much larger commandment than any of the others, and it is right in the middle. And remember, that's God's basically signature, you know, in the wax, if you will, making the sign his king signature in the peace treaty. Remember, the Ten Commandments was a peace treaty between the king, Almighty God, and the people, reflecting the treaties that happened in the ancient Near East, the ancient East, where they were making an agreement. The king would make an agreement with the people, and they would say, you will be our king, we'll do what you say, and he would give them, here's the rules, but he would also put his signature upon it in the middle. And so we have the middle, it's the Sabbath in the Ten Commandments. It's a sign that we are his people, and it's a sign that he is our God. The Sabbath, keeping of the Sabbath, the experiencing of the Sabbath, shows God's stamp upon you as his holy people unto the Lord. After all, isn't that the high priest's work, to represent the people before God? Holiness unto the Lord. And ye are priests. So as you are here keeping the Sabbath, you and God give a witness to who you are in Christ. Right now, as you are keeping the Sabbath, God is giving you a witness that you are sanctified. God is sanctifying you, and he's showing you that you're being sanctified. Verse 13 again, it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. It's a witness to God, and it's God's witness upon you. But think about this. That's not just as you're here worshiping now in your regular weeks through most of the year. When you are on vacation, and when you're on business, and you set apart that day and yourselves in it, and you go to worship, you are giving a witness to who you are. You're giving a witness to your coworkers. You're giving a witness to your travel partners that you are holiness unto the Lord. You have been set apart by the Lord. He has his mark upon you, and here is a significant way he shows that you are sanctified. You are different than everyone else on the Lord's day, wherever you are found. And you are found just like the Holy One, Jesus Christ, in your Father's house. You give a witness. Most importantly, you are saying something to yourself, about yourself, again, that ye may know. That ye may know. God uses the sanctifying of his holy day to remind you weekly that ye may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You have a relationship with me. I am the Holy Lord, and I make you through Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit, saints. I make you holy ones. Beloved, you are being used by God to give him worship here. He meets with you in a special way here. You are the called out ones to gather together and worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. See the sanctification happening. Feel the sanctification happening. See that you are sanctified and that God is your sanctifier, the one who makes you holy. How else could you be here? Except he's made you holy, at least in true worship in the heavenlies right now, because he is your holiness. He makes you holy, and he will continue to be making you holy. See the sign of sanctifying the Sabbath. See the sign of the set apart day, setting you apart. And remember, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's 1 Peter chapter 1. But of course, that's quoting Leviticus, which be ye holy as I am holy is written like four or five times. And that's the idea of Leviticus. God makes us holy through the sacrifice of blood and thus calls us to live a holy life and says, here is what it looks like. It looks like me. But we want to recognize the indicative and the imperative in this again, similar to definitive and progressive. You're called to be holy and grow in holiness because he makes you holy. He has made you definitively holy. So you're called to live that out, not to make yourself holy and right standing before him. You can't. Christ does that. The Spirit does that. But there's more to come out of that in your life until the day when you are perfectly holy in the new heavens and the new earth. The indicative is who you are, definitively holy, saints. The imperative, that is the command, comes out of that, and it can't be reversed. You are commanded to grow in holiness and progress in holiness because you have been made holy, because the Lord sanctifies you. And if the Lord sanctifies you, who are you to say you can't grow in sanctification? You can sense the devil's tempting us. We can never be holy. We can never grow in holiness. But yes, we can, because he's healed us and he makes us holy and he helps us be more holy. You see, the call to do is based on the call of answering who you are. God would have you affirmed in who you are and who you are becoming as his people. And so he provides the keeping of the weekly Sabbath as a way to rest, as a way to grow in Christ and see you reflecting him in his holiness. See yourselves here tonight, having sanctified the Sabbath in public and private worship, and praise God for your self-attesting testimony of Jehovah Mekadishkim, the Lord who sanctifies you. The original sermon on this text, when we were going through Exodus, had this sermon point: show the signs of covenant life. Keep the Sabbath, sanctify the Sabbath to show that you have covenant life. That is a sign of it. I adjust it partly here, not as the actual message point, but you could see it this way tonight. See the signs of covenant life. Show the signs of covenant life, but see the signs of covenant life. God is sanctifying you because he has sanctified you, because he is the one who sanctifies you. He is the one who freely, graciously sanctified you and sanctifies you. That is, you bear witness, worshiping him on his holy day. You bear witness that he is sanctifying you. And may you witness that witness, that through Christ, by the Spirit, you here will make progress in holiness most definitely, because it's freely and graciously given to you. God has sanctified you, and God is sanctifying you. At this moment, in every respect, be assured that God sanctifies you. It's not something you do on your own. God is doing it. God has done it. God is doing it, and he will complete the work. God sanctifies you. And this Sabbath is a particular way he witnesses to you that he's doing this. God sanctifies you, beloved. Let us pray. We worship you in the beauty of your holiness, and we hear your call upon our lives that you have made us saints, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. And we hear your call on us to be holy as you are holy. And we are empowered to see that you enable us more and more to do this, to die unto our sins, to live unto your righteousness, to progress, to make progress, because you are doing this work, because you have done a work in us. You have renewed our whole man after the image of God. Lord, we ask that you would help us to beat our bodies into submission, to put on Christ more and more, to renew our minds, to put all things, all thoughts under obedience to Jesus Christ. O Lord, you sanctified us. You are sanctifying us. It is you who sanctifies us. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be motivated, to be empowered, to be strengthened, to be courageous, to be gracious, to be godly, to be good. Thank you for revealing this name to us to show your relationship to us. in how you relate to us through Jesus Christ, the Holy One. Holy Spirit, bear your fruits in us more and more, we pray. Remind us of them and help us to look for them and to cultivate them, trusting that you are doing this work and you began it and you will grow it and you will complete it. We look forward to the day, O Lord, when we will be perfectly holy with our new bodies in your holy presence. It's difficult to imagine what it will be like. We pray, O Lord, you will give us a greater taste of it now as you bless us to grow and advance your kingdom of grace and as you hasten the kingdom of glory. Lord, thank you that you relate to us like this, for we don't deserve any of this, and we could never do any of this except by your grace, free grace. Thank you for making us righteous. Thank you for justifying us, and thank you for making us holy and making us more and more holy. That is, thank you for sanctifying us. Thank you for calling us and setting us apart from this world to be in it but not of it, and to help us to be a better witness, even just to ourselves, wherever we find ourselves, bringing us and our families, saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Coming into the house of the Lord on your holy day, and giving a testimony to our God who sanctifies us. We pray in your name, Jehovah Mekadishkim, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.